Hi, my name is Eliane Goldstein, and you're listening to The Effect on Us.
Every survivor had one moment, you want to call it luck, you can call it luck, or you can call it divine intervention.
If my mother's family hadn't been saved by Stanislav Grochulski, who put his life and his wife's life and his children's life at risk in order to save them, I would not be sitting here and talking to you right now.
It's up to life and death. You feel to fight for survival.
The Effect on Us podcast. Here's Eliane Goldstein.
The Effect on Us is a podcast for people of all ages to learn about controversial subjects and the ties it has to people nowadays. In this season, the focus of the series is the Holocaust. You'll be able to hear some of the best survival stories I've ever heard from people that went through the Second World War and learn more about the effect the Holocaust had on people from Generation 1 to Generation 3. Did you know that there is a person known as the Japanese Schindler? He's also the only Japanese person to be awarded Righteous Among the Nations. In this episode, we will hear about Juni Sugihara, a Japanese diplomat who was stationed in Lithuania during World War II. Sugihara helped thousands of Jews flee Europe by ignoring his orders and issuing thousands of transit visas to Japan, all while risking his job and the lives of his family. It was reported that he spent 18 to 20 hours a day on them, producing a normal month's worth of visas each day until he reached his departing train back to Tokyo. My guest today is Linda Royale, whose father and grandparents were the recipients of his visa. Hi, what's your name?
My name's Linda Royale.
Where were you born?
So I was born in Sydney, in Australia, in 1962.
What is your connection to the Holocaust?
My father and my grandparents fled Warsaw in December 1939, and they fled to Lithuania, and then they were issued visas illegally by a Japanese diplomat named Juni Sugihara, who defied his government to help save desperate Jewish refugees. And so they escaped to Japan, and then they were sponsored out to Australia. So they were saved, but the rest of my family perished.
Were your parents together at the time?
My parents, no. My mother was born in England. My father was born in Poland, and they met in Australia after the war.
How did your father end up escaping?
My grandfather, my father's father, was in the Polish army, and he told them to come and meet them at the border of Poland and Lithuania. So they managed to somehow coerce a member of the Gestapo to drive them from Warsaw, and then he dropped them. He didn't keep the end of his promise, and so they ended up wandering through the forest, and they found some other Jews also trying to escape, and then they were rounded up and they were almost shot, but they decided, the Germans decided to let them go. They couldn't be bothered wasting bullets on Jews, and so they fled across to Lithuania, and that's where they were saved by this Japanese diplomat. That's how they escaped.
Did your father go to Japan?
He was 11, and so he was in Japan until he was 12. And then they escaped. They got out of Japan because my grandmother had two brothers in Australia who sponsored them out to Australia in 1941.
The Holocaust is a part of World War II. Wasn't World War II also taking place in Japan?
It was, but at the time, so Jeff, a good question, because Japan was allied with Germany, which is why what this gentleman did for my family and for 6,000 other Jews was an incredible act, because he defied his government. They told him under no circumstances to issue visas to Jews, and he defied his government. So he's actually, he was nominated as a Righteous Among the Nations by Yad Vashem for his efforts.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
What is the entire story?
Pretty much what I've just told you, that they escaped from Warsaw. They were lucky to get out, and they happened to manage to get visas to Japan, transit visas. So that's really is the story.
How did they get the visas to Japan?
So they had there were some Dutch refugees who wanted to go back to the Netherlands, and the Germans had already invaded, so they couldn't go back there. So they went to the Dutch consul and said, we want to go somewhere else, maybe close to America. And he said, okay. And they nominated a little province called Curaçao, which is near Venezuela. And he said, I can give you papers there, but you have to transit through Japan. And then they told all the other Jews that they managed to do that. And so all the other Jews raced to both of the embassies, the Dutch and Japanese embassies, and asked if they could help them as well.
What was the name of the man that saved your family?
Chiyuni Sugihara.
How did your father get to Australia?
Okay, so they, first of all, from Lithuania, they had to take a two-week train across Russia through Moscow to Vladivostok. Then they took a boat for 2 days from Vladivostok to a port called Suruga. And then they were transported to the Jewish community in Kobe. And then they got a ship from Japan about 9 months later to Australia.
So fasting forward a little bit, was in Australia, was there a large Jewish population?
Interestingly, no. There were a few local Australian Jews, but the bulk of the Jewish population came, I believe, post-World War II, and we now have in Australia the largest community of Holocaust survivors outside of Israel in the world.
Wow. So when you were born, was growing up, was religion, did religion have a big significance in your household?
In mine, relatively big, because my mother's parents from England were very religious. And when my grandfather came from England, he was originally Polish as well, but he escaped. Well, he didn't escape. He left Poland in 1919 when he was 19 years old. So they didn't go through the Holocaust, but he lost his entire family in Auschwitz. But when he came out, he founded one of the synagogues here. He was the founder. So it was quite a reasonably religious household. It wasn't, I would say it was modern Orthodox or conservative, but not Reform.
Did you or your family ever meet up with the person that saved your father and grandfather?
No, unfortunately. He died in 1986, so a lot of the survivors never got to meet him. Some did, but I got to meet his son, his only surviving son, Nabuki, in New York in May 2019, and there were about 300 of us, and we all met at the Holocaust Museum there.
How was that experience for you?
That was really an amazing experience for me, because he's the closest thing to the man that that I owe my life to and my children's lives. So, yeah, it was very special.
I saw a video where you spoke, and you said something interesting about how if your family hadn't saved, or about how if this guy hadn't saved your family, then you wouldn't be alive and your kids wouldn't be alive and your parents wouldn't be alive. How does it feel thinking about something like that in such a strong way? Because it's a very strong thing to say.
Yes, it's had a major impact on my life, and now I'm devoting my years, or my senior years, and however long it takes, to educate the world on the Holocaust and the power of one person to affect change and go against the crowd, because it only takes one. And I am writing a movie and a book about my family and their experience, so the world can be educated and learn about this man like everybody knows about Oskar Schindler.
Is there any anti-Semitism in Australia?
Unfortunately, there's anti-Semitism everywhere, and Australia is not excluded from that. And we have probably have daily incidents as well, small ones and some not so small. When I was at college, there aren't many Jews in Australia, so there's only about 30 or 40,000 Jews in Sydney. So there's a lot of the community that don't meet Jews or associate with Jews. And when I was at college, we only had a small class. It was about 15 of us, and I asked somebody to do something, and she responded telling me, well, that's a very Jew thing to say. And so the teacher made her apologize to me in front of the whole class. I was about 21 years old.
Yeah, that's a disgusting thing for somebody to say. It's bad.
Yeah.
So before you mentioned that you're writing a screenplay or a movie, mm-hmm. it's going to be about the Holocaust, I assume.
Yeah, it's about my family's escape and going back to thank you and Sidi Harrop for what we did for them. Yeah.
Do you know what it's going to be called?
Ah, well, that's a difficult one. So at the moment it's called The Savior, but it will probably change. So we're not really sure at the moment.
It seems very interesting. I'll try to keep a lookout for it.
Thank you.
Right now, are you very involved other than you know, writing a movie and a book? Are you very involved with religion and Jewish culture right now?
Not so much religion. We are traditional, my family, so we will observe a Passover and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Hanukkah, but I don't go to synagogue every week. We don't keep a kosher house, but we won't eat tripe. And culturally, yes, I'd say the bulk of my friends are Jewish, and we mix in very Jewish circles, and we support all the Jewish causes nationally and internationally.
How is it like growing up with Holocaust survivors?
Yeah, that's a good question. Most of my friends' parents were Holocaust survivors, so that's an unusual way to grow up. So it was a very continental upbringing. We were all introduced to European food, either Hungarian or Polish or German. We were very aware of the fact that our parents fled persecution and that we lost huge amounts of our family trees. But it wasn't unusual, so we were kind of all in the same boat. So there was a big sense of belonging. It was unusual to not be a Holocaust survivor's child.
Did your parents talk openly about the Holocaust?
My mum didn't go through it. My dad did talk about it because I guess he didn't go through the camps, and so he wasn't as traumatized as other people. My grandfather passed away before I was born. My grandmother I was very close to, and she never talked about it because she said goodbye to both her parents when she was 30 years old and never saw them again. And I think that was a huge trauma, and she never talked about it.
Yeah, it's really sad what happened to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thank you very much for talking with me today.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate it. Your story's
a pleasure. And I hope you have a lovely bat mitzvah and, you're able to impart some really important information on your friends and family and community.
What an amazing story. It is said that when Sugihara had to leave Lithuania, he handed a stamp to a refugee so that more visas could be forged. Join me next time when I talk to Bill Lukowitz, a survivor who hid in a double wall hiding spot and later in a forest for 2 years after escaping the ghetto. If you like this episode, please like and subscribe and tell your friends. This is Eliane Goldstein. Tune in next time to The Effect on Us. And remember, history will not repeat itself. Bye!